taming the briar patch, mowing the lawn, or trimming Yeti, whatever you call it, it's about time we all talked about manscaping. 9 out of 10 women of all ages prefer their guy manscaped. But you gotta have the right tools for the jewels. Pop over to manscaped.com, check out their perfect package, the Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0. That was a smash hit on Shark Tank. It features the lawnmower, a precision trimmer engineered for below-the-waist grooming. Its skin-safe technology means no more accidental nicks and burns. Check out the lawnmower and the amazing grooming and hygiene products that come with your perfect package. Get 20% off plus free shipping today. Visit manscaped.com. Use the promo code BETS. Again, use promo code BETS at manscaped.com. Manscaped.com.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander, broadcasting only on the Vegas Stats and Information Network.
He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Analytics, statistics, and more are used to win wagers, and Gil has every number you need to cash your tickets. Now, live from the VSiN studios in the South Point Hotel and Casino, it's Gil Alexander.
Welcome back into A Numbers Game. I'm your host, Amal Shaw, filling in for Gil Alexander. Joining me is Josh Towers, former big league pitcher. And joining us by phone now is Joe Lisi of GoForTheTwo.com. Joe, how are you this morning?
Doing well, Amal. The long off season of college football, but I'm really intrigued to see what the 2019 season has in store for us.
Well, looking forward to your book coming out. You have one of the best previews in college football of anyone out there. Before we get into that, tell me right now, just off the top of your head, obviously everyone's pointing towards Alabama and Clemson once again. I know they're a little bit fatigued by those two teams as they currently both sit at around 2-1 to win the national title. Are these two teams the ones you see as being clear-cut if you're looking at it from a betting perspective?
Well, obviously, you mentioned the two favorites. I mean, the one thing that stands out is how they dominated the competition within their own conferences. I mean, Clemson 40-4, guys, since 2014 in ACC play. That's a 909 winning percentage. And Alabama 26-1 over the last 3 years against SEC opponents, and they won those games by over 24 points per game. So, yeah, I think they deserve to be the clear-cut favorites, but there's a couple other teams as well in some of the other conferences like Ohio State and Washington that I think could surprise this year.
Clemson currently at 2-1, Alabama at plus 2.5-1 to win the national title.
Let's nip that in the butt right now.
Go ahead.
We keep hearing Washington's name all the time. They never won anything.
We got to go back to the 1990 and the Dogfather Don James and company before we talk about the Huskies. They're currently sitting at 25-1. Joe, I know you remember the Dogfather and Steve Entman and those guys that they had up there in Seattle, but now you have the transfer from Georgia, Jacob Eason. He will probably be the starter for Peterson's team when the season kicks off.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking back in the day, Don James. I mean, that was what it was all about. Guys like Nat Kaufman back, roaming in Seattle. But I think when you look at Washington as a whole, the one thing that stands out for me, I mean, Impact 12 play since 2016. They're 24-5 overall. But the one inefficiency that they had over the last couple of years with Jake Browning is their inability to stretch defenses vertically. Even though they averaged 238 passing yards per game, they only had 16 passing touchdowns and handcuffed them in critical games against Ohio State and, more importantly, the rivalry game against Oregon on the road. So Jacob Eason, to me, is a battle-tested quarterback, and the fact that he had all of last year to sit out and learn the system, he's from the state of Washington. I think they're going to be just fine if they can find some momentum and cohesiveness early. I think they are great value at 25-1.
Joe, obviously a lot of people are going to be talking about Trevor Lawrence and this Clemson team, but they lost a lot of talent on defense. I personally am surprised that Alabama is not the prohibitive favorite because of what Alabama brings back on offense. To me, Najee Harris has very little tread on the tires because, remember, he's sitting behind Josh Jacobs and Damian Harris the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Tua is back at wide receiver. And then you look at the talent coming back at the receiver position. Jerry Jeudy, who could be the first wide receiver taken in the 2020 draft. Of course, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, and Henry Ruggs. They do lose Irv Smith, and they lose a couple of key pieces on the offensive line. But I think Bama looks very difficult in terms of being able to slow down their offense this season. How do you see the Crimson Tide overall if you were to match them up against Clemson just early on? I know we're only in May, but I think those are the two teams that many people are going to be looking at.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, Alabama, I mean, what can you say, guys? I mean, 9-0 in SEC play, and they dominated the competition. I think when you look at Alabama as a whole, everybody turns to that national championship game and says they're vulnerable this year, and I think they are if they face Clemson or a team possibly like Ohio State that has weapons to challenge them vertically. But you look at their schedule overall, they have the weakest SEC West schedule by far. Their opponents for 2019. Average right in the area of about 513% winning percentage compared to teams like Auburn at 608 and, more importantly, LSU at 643. I think they're going to be the clear-cut favorite. They have one tough road game against Texas A&M in College Station, but I think it's clear sailing to the SEC championship game for the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yeah, I don't think that goes without question. This team's awesome. All these teams, these two in particular, do a great job in the offseason. Obviously, they get the best recruiting classes. Why would you not want to go to these two schools? It's not about getting there. They do it every year. It's about beating teams like Clemson because Bama has that target on their back, and now Clemson obviously does, but offensively, they're fantastic. It's defensively, how do you shut down Trevor Lawrence? You know, it's how do you score in that Clemson defense in that moment? It's not about getting there. It's what happens when you get there. I guess what I want to know as well, and we know a lot about Saban over the years, is this entire offseason and preparation built around how to beat Clemson again in that game?
I think it is. Also, Georgia, if Georgia should get to the SEC championship game, they've given Alabama some troubles because of their type of personnel. So those are the two teams overall. I will throw in this about Clemson as a whole, guys, in terms of, you know, I think Nick Saban is, you know, he's gearing up to play Clemson in the college football playoff again or possibly in the national championship game. And the way that defense, their secondary, was attacked vertically by those wide receivers in the passing game, that's been the MO. That's the way you have to attack Alabama. You can't attack them sideline to sideline. I'll agree with Amal on this too, in terms of the personnel on the defensive front that they lose in terms of Clemson overall. They lose Austin Bryant, Farrell on the defensive end, Lawrence and Wilkins on the inside. And you look at their September schedule, guys, that's going to make or break Clemson. They face a Georgia Tech, which runs a variation of the triple option, even though Jeff Collins is there. So that's going to be a critical game for the front seven. They then play Texas A&M and then have to play a road game against Syracuse. So the month of September will really dictate whether Clemson is for real again or not. If they slip up in September, might be on the outside looking in. But agreed, these are the two best teams in college football heading into the 2019 season.
Joe, I want to go into the Big 12 a little bit. Texas is at 20-1 to win the national title. Obviously, big expectations for Tom Herman and company down there. Sam Ellinger back at quarterback. How do you think the Longhorns will do this year? I'm not quite as high on them as everyone else is.
Yeah, I mean, I was high on them last year. I thought they had the ability to possibly crack the playoff. They lost four games by 21 total points, and I think they're taking the next step in the progression under Tom Herman. They need to run the football better. They're averaging around 156 rushing yards per game. Herman wants to get them up to close to 200 to have more balance. I think it's going to be very difficult. I pegged Texas at 9-3 overall. I mean, for them to crack the college football playoff, it's going to be very difficult. They have a September 9th game against LSU in Austin. We know LSU comes to play each and every week, and they're going to have to beat Oklahoma. And teams like Iowa State and Baylor are up and coming. So I'm not so sold on Texas being just a legitimate Big 12 contender overall, although they do have quality in terms of a possible long shot.
I actually like Texas to win the Big 12 because I think Oklahoma with Jalen Hurts at quarterback takes a step back this year. To me, that's going to be the difference. Joe Lisi of Go for the Two joining us. You can follow him on Twitter at Go for the Two. Joe, one of the things that obviously I pay close attention to being an Ohio State guy is how this offense does now that Justin Fields is under center for the Buckeyes. How much of an impact can he have? He still has a lot of talent at the wide receiver position coming back. They do lose Paris Campbell, the burner, but J.K. Dobbins is back in that backfield, and I think Ohio State should not really skip a beat with Chris Day running the offense this year. How do you think Fields does?
Yeah, I think he does fantastic. You're talking about a five-star recruit. He has mobility, and he has the ability to put pressure on opposing defenses on the perimeter. Ohio State's just like the other teams that we mentioned, Clemson and Alabama. All they do is dominate the competition. They were 9-1 in Big Ten play last year and won those nine games by 17.6 points per game. And when you look at some of the other teams, who's going to really challenge them in the division? I'm not sold on Michigan. Ohio State is 16-2 in the decade against Michigan. I mean, why this year as opposed to last year when they had the cards stacked in their favor? So I just don't see it. You look at Tommy Stevens for Penn State. He moves on. So I think Ohio State's clearly head and shoulders above the rest within the conference. And should they make the college football playoff, they have the type of personnel to challenge a team like Alabama should they get there.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things this year. I think we all expect Clemson, obviously with Travis Etienne back, and that offense to be prolific with Trevor Lawrence, Justin Ross on the outside. We talked about Alabama, how good they're going to be. You mentioned Georgia. I know you follow that program very closely. You're a big fan of Kirby Smart. They're currently, I think, around 10-1 to win the national title. To me, when you look at this team, what do you like about the Bulldogs? Obviously, you lose Elijah Holyfield, who I thought was an absolute stud for them. DeAndre Swift is back. Zahir Smith will be in that tailback position as well. How do you see the Dogs doing this year?
I think the Dogs will be there fighting for a division title. I think their schedule is very difficult. They have a late season game against Texas A&M right before Georgia Tech. They play Florida. And the bullseye of trying to get back to the SEC championship game, and more importantly, a college football playoff, could hurt this team. I think Jake Fromm is a legitimate Heisman Trophy contender. And Amal, I told you the statistics. Over the last couple of years, they are 21-0. Every time they rush for over 200 yards against FCS and FBS competition, they've won those 21 games by 27.2 points per game, but their schedule is very difficult. I think they manage 10 wins, but I don't even think they win the division. I have a dark horse that I think has the type of schedule to surprise a lot of teams.
Joe, the Florida Gators, obviously they improved last year. They always have a ton of talent. How well do you think the Gators can perform, and can they knock off the Dogs this year? Because to me, if you go back to that game last year in Jacksonville, I thought they had an opportunity to hit Van Jefferson on a go route. Felipe Franks missed him. To me, if Franks can take that next step forward in his accuracy, I think the Gators become a very dangerous team in the SEC East and in the Southeastern Conference as a whole.
Yeah, great point, Amal. I mean, from a schedule perspective, they play two FCS opponents. Only them and Virginia Tech are some of the only two FBS teams to play two FCS opponents on their schedule. So keep an eye out for that for their win total. But I agree with you. Defensively, they're very stout. He needs to take the next step under Dan Mullen. Can he do it? I think he can. They're going to need to run the football a little more consistently. They have some secondary issues. One of their players did get arrested this past week. Will he be available come fall remains to be seen, but as long as the defense can continue to develop from a physicality perspective, Florida should be there. I pegged them right in the area of 8-4. I think they take a minor step back, but if they hit on all cylinders in September and October, could possibly be there in the end as well.
Joe, you always need a couple of arrests to know your team's heading in the right direction. Ask Nebraska in the 90s. They not only won national titles, but they led the prison writers group in arrest every year. So I think the Gators are trending in the right direction. Joe, before we get you out of here, tell us a little bit about your preview and when it's coming out and where people can get it.
Yeah, the preview will be out. I just finished it late last night. I put together all the statistics. I sent you a copy late last night. It'll be out tonight, Amal, on Amazon. GoForTheChew.com Power 5 preview. Breaks down all the statistical strengths and weaknesses of every Power 5 team. Gives my predictions as well. So it'll be available tonight on Amazon.
Hey, Joe, real quick. When you do all this stuff and you get all your stats and you're looking at all the players, how much of your rankings is based on how good the head coaches are? I mean, listen, we know how good Saban is. The head coach for Clemson, I'm so impressed with this man and how good he is. How much of that is the factor? Because I feel like you can give him any player.
That's a big part of it. That's a big part of it, Josh. I mean, when you look at the coaches as well, I mean, you know, you look at Ryan Day for Ohio State trying to take over for Urban Meyer. Now you have to take over the key responsibilities as a head coach. Can he keep that momentum flowing? I mean, we've seen defensive coordinators struggle where they come over as head coaches. Narduzzi, Poe Pelini, Tom Allen in Indiana struggling. So now what does that mean for Manny Diaz as he takes over the Hurricanes as well? So that's a big factor. Consistency each and every year, not just in terms of coaching, but recruiting as well, and taking that talent to the next level. Dabo Sweeney and Nick Saban have done it better than anybody, and before them, Urban Meyer as well. So we'll see if these coaches can do it, but there's a lot of young head coaches that are making waves in college football.
Urban Meyer is one of the best coaches ever. That's a fact. But Dabo Sweeney, I feel like you can put him anywhere in the country. Just pick a name out of a hat. You can pick. Go ahead. Anywhere you put him in the country, he's going to make that football team, that football program better, guaranteed.
I agree with you.
With the same players.
I don't think he gets enough credit. I mean, I think finally after last year, he gets talked about with Saban. But let's talk about what he's done. He has coached that talent up. I mean, think about some of the players, not only on the offensive side of the ball, but on the defensive side of the ball that they've lost. Every year since 2014, they are averaging 48.4 sacks per season, and all they do is send players to the NFL, just like LSU and Alabama. So he's doing a fantastic job in Death Valley.
Hey, you're absolutely right. Joe, please let everyone know how they can find you on social media and where they can catch you.
Yeah, they can catch me on Twitter at GoForTheTwo. That's the number two. Or then go to my website, putting up content each and every day at GoForTheTwo, the number 2.com.
Joe, as always, we appreciate the time and look forward to your preview.
Anytime, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
You like college football, you better get that.